Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I wonder if you're glad that God has some people, hallelujah, outside of the United States. I wonder if you're happy that one day God has used America to send their missionaries to the foreign fields and, hallelujah, obey the commandments of Jesus, which is for everyone to go and to make disciples, hallelujah, throughout all the world. Amen. And the man you are seeing before you now is a product of that effort that you have invested in the kingdom of God. For I was a Catholic when I was young, assistant to the priest, as a matter of fact. Then my parents, at the age of 8, were won to the Trinity Church. And then, praise the Lord, the Lord made a way that we were won to the apostolic truth. I was the first one to know this doctrine. And as a matter of fact, I thought that these oneness people were weird people, not understanding Matthew 3:16 and Matthew 28:19, and I was angry.
Yes.
And then the missionary just had a study with me, and he put a blackboard in front of us, you know, and we argued. Then I found out that it's in the Bible. So I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I had two brothers that were pastors of the Trinitarian Church, and I baptized them too. So I baptized every member of our family, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that the Lord has opened His way for me to know the truth at a very young age, where I could be used of Him, hallelujah, at a very young age. I think the prime life of man is when he's young. It's the highest peak, I imagine. Young people, children, look the time when they'll be a teenager, and then old people only look back, hallelujah, at the time when they were teenager. Praise the Lord. It's the really prime time of life when you are young. And I thank God because, hallelujah, I have not wasted my youthhood, hallelujah, living for the world.
All right.
I would like for us to stand as we read the Bible, as we read the Word of God. My text tonight is found in the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 14 and 15. What I do, I just preach. Praise the Lord. I've been to a lot of places. I've been to a lot of churches. Amen. And as a matter of fact, I have traveled about 25 states already in the United States. And of course, we do have needs in the Philippines, as Brother Shields said, that I'm a pastor there. I'm not really a missionary as far as the sense of the United States sending a missionary to the Philippines. Praise the Lord, but I do take care of some work there, which some of the brethren here in the States are helping, and which I'm very thankful to God that God has taught some people to help. Nevertheless, I always reason out that I am not, hallelujah, serving God because of the United States. I'm just serving God because I love Him.
All right.
And I serve Him whether there is offering or not, and I never have showed slides or pictures to the churches or tried to pull them to help. Brother Shields has told you that sometimes we worship with 18 inches water on our feet, dirty water. And I have a burden to erase our floor when I go back. And God knows, hallelujah, how to supply the need.
That's right.
Amen. I just come just to preach. Just to become a blessing. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
14 and 15. And now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, as we know, was the successor of Moses, and he brought up the children of Israel from the wilderness to the promised land. And he had more jobs, I imagine, than Moses had. Of course, Moses was a great man, and Joshua's job was probably more challenging and more hard, you know, because he had to deal with the war, the Amorites, and those people that they have to drive away, and then he has to divide the inheritance of the people. Hallelujah. And during those times, he had to preserve the people from being polluted by the gods around them, which are the gods of the nations. But before Joshua left the people, he knew about the problems, that there were some involvement of the people to the gods around them. So he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He could have forced them, but he just said, choose you this day.
Right.
Now, I'm trying to bring a thought subject about your choice, our choice, your choice. It's a simple subject, and we have heard of it. Praise the Lord. But let me just talk in a couple of minutes. I hope I will not be long-winded tonight. I'll try my best. Praise God. Hallelujah. About the simple subject, our choice. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Pastor Rutledge to pray for the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, we ask you to anoint our brother as he brings to us from his heart to our hearts from the Word of the Lord. Enrich us tonight, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us go home feeling that we have been supplied from the Word of God through your servant. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can be seated. Praise the Lord. See, in the Philippines, we are used to just having a long service, you know, if we want to. And we just have the time. But of course, you understand some people have to work, and then if they won't work, they might be disfellowshipped from their work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm an observer. And a lot of times I preach on observation. Praise the Lord. Of course, I also preach on inspiration, but there are times that when you observe, and then you observe things that are happening which make you think and make you rationalize about the things of man and the things of God.
Right.
See, in this life, there are things of God, things of man. Praise the Lord. And I really think that nature has principles and laws which, if we can just observe them, hallelujah, we would not be living riotously and chaotically and nervously. Praise the Lord. For God has put principles in nature that we have to observe.
That's right.
Amen. Of course, as far as we are alive, we have to live in this natural world on a spiritual realm. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And every day in our life, praise God, as we serve God, we have to also move as human beings. And sometimes we get confused, the things of man, the things of God. And because sometimes we are engulfed with doing the things of man and entertaining them with our mind and comparing them with the spiritual things, and they seem not to agree, because the Bible really says that natural man does not understand the things of God.
That's right.
Amen. But really, I think that in serving God, it is not only on the basis of God's Spirit and on the basis of the Bible, on the basis of the preaching, that we can understand the things of God. We can also understand the things of God on the basis of nature.
Right.
Even on the basis of how we live.
Right.
For somebody said we are a part of God. The world is a part of God. Everything is a part of God. Amen.
Amen.
And there is the Spirit that God has put within man that deciphers and judges things. Hallelujah. And there's conscience too. Praise the Lord. And we get confused sometimes, and we ask God why there are rich people and why there are poor people, why there are sickness and why there are people that are healthy, why there are people that are educated, knowledgeable, and talented, and that we don't have what they have, so we accuse God of being unfair.
Yeah.
And it's in Christian living too, we see people who have made it. They're really strong in the faith and so determined and fixed up their mind on serving God, and they have done something for the Lord, and amen. The life is just beautiful. People who could just sing and play music and who could just preach and win people, a beautiful life as you observe them, and then here you are struggling, and then you sometimes say, why, Lord, why? Is he more favorite, or is he more chosen? Is he more predestined? Is he predestined than I am? Why are there people that are lost? Why are there people that go out and backslide? And then there are people that really persevere and continue and persist. Hallelujah. Well, we don't seem to understand these things, and it is really some confusion. And some people that are that believe in predestination, they say, well, it's just that some people are predestinated and some people are not. And they say that some people go to hell, whether they like it or not, and some people just really go to heaven, and they say, once you're saved, you're saved.
Yeah.
Amen. And they say that grace saves us, and that is through by faith, not by work. So you don't need to work, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And sometimes these things do confuse us on where to place ourselves in our service for God.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
But, as we have read about choosing, the Bible is full of it, about choice. You see, if we believe that there is predestination, then we could really accuse God of being unfair. But God is not unfair. That's why there's no predestination. We do believe that the church is predestinated, that it was already in the mind of God before the world began. But the people that would be in the church is not predestinated. Boy, if God really functions on predestination, maybe he would not love the Filipinos, because the Filipinos are poor, and maybe they are little people, and maybe they are less privileged people more than the Americans. But you see, God is fairly equal to everyone.
Amen.
Really, people are basically the same.
Amen.
Basically the same.
Right.
Amen. Someone asked me a while ago how people live in the Philippines. I said, well, people just live the same you do. We eat the same different food than you eat, but we get satisfied the same.
Amen.
Amen. We sleep the same thing you sleep. And we laugh the way you laugh, and we cry the way you cry.
Right.
And he said, you also go to the bathroom like we do. Yeah, of course. And so, the same thing. You know, some people may sleep on cushion bed, and some people sleep on the mat. But really, we don't seek for the bed, we only seek for sleep.
Right.
And the basic need of man is not the material things.
Right.
Listen to me tonight, it's not the material things that satisfy.
Right.
It is what our soul needs. It is what our spirit craves after. We really need peace. We really need love. We need to be loved, and we need to love somebody. That's the basic. You see, food and money won't mean anything anymore to anyone when there's no more love.
Right.
I mean, when he doesn't have peace, what's money for? What's home for? What's bed for? What's food for?
Right.
You see, we don't understand that the basic need of man is not the material. We only have to get these things in order to support the basic need of man, which is the internal, which is the inward need of man.
Yes.
And also, man is passing by. Whether you like it or not, it is appointed for man once to die. Somebody asked me why people has to get sick. And I told them bluntly that the reason why there are sickness, no matter how people suppress sicknesses, is because it is a means whereby to kill people.
Right.
Somehow, you know. Because if people won't get sick, then they won't die. Maybe. So sickness has to come. Praise the Lord, because it is appointed unto man once to die. But you see, if the church is predestinated, amen, then God is really unfair. But you see, the Bible also speaks about whosoever will. Whosoever will.
Amen.
There is a word there, whosoever will, that means whosoever will choose. Whosoever will obey.
Right.
Our pastor said a while ago about respond. You know, each one of us has an individuality of choice.
Right.
And I want you to understand this, that so that we wouldn't blame God or wouldn't blame the pastor of our failure and of our success, because really, each one lives individually and independently.
You're right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God has given us the will. Everybody has it. Then the emotion. And then the strength of our body to support the will and to support the emotion. It's really the will that has to be followed. Emotion is only to follow the will. But sometimes when will is subject to emotion, then that's when a man becomes a nervous wreck. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But it is intended for man to use his will.
Right.
Really? That's nature. That's normal.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're right.
See, sometimes we use this infinitive reasoning that it is God's will. You know, it is God's will. I really don't believe that everything is God's will.
That's right.
That happens to man.
That's right.
Of course, there are things that happens that is the will of God, but not everything
right.
that happens is the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the will of God does not involve those people who are not his children. Only the people of God are being involved with the will of God. It's just like a father and a mother having some riches and writing some will. He would not include anyone that's outside of the family. Praise the Lord. So, the will of God, sometimes we say, why? What's the will of God to the sinner people? Well, God does not have a will on them. They have their own will. And even now as we serve God, we have to decipher and know the will of God, to follow the will of God, that the will of God will be done in our lives. Praise the Lord. Choice. Oh, choice. We make it every day. We choose every day. We choose the color of dress we wear, the car, the house we live in. Amen. We choose everything. Almost every day we do it. There are people that say, your choice. It is your choice. And people choose.
Amen.
And sometimes, the more you force people, the more you can get them.
Right.
Because there is a spirit and an attitude of man that he loves when he is being given a choice.
Right.
See, man becomes defensive and will really fight back if he is not allowed for his choice.
Right.
I understand that. So when I tell our people, I say, this is your choice. Now, I don't force you. Sometimes people feel that we are really forcing them and just want them to really get in. And the more we want them to get in, the more they fight. Because there is an attitude of man within him that wants to exercise his freedom of choice. Really, God has given us the freedom of choice.
Yes.
Choice, every day we do it.
Amen.
Amen. And we are not forced to. I mean, even if you force somebody to serve God, if he does not really decide it for himself, you don't get anyone. The only thing that the church could get anyone if somebody has really made a decision for himself.
Amen.
And that's the basis of love. That's the basis of trust and faith. That's where the church is built, upon the decision of man.
Amen. Praise God.
Hello?
Amen.
I'm watching my time.
Praise
the Lord. See, someone asked me, and they accused God of being ignorant, that during the creation of man, God put the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil there, and he said, if you were a good father, would you put a poison in the middle of the table that your children are eating there, and would show your children, this is poison, don't touch it, in the middle of your table? You are not wise. You should have put that there in the cabinet where your children will not be tempted, will not be tempted to touch it. He said, God, why did he put it there? That's why man fell into sin. Because he put it there. If he didn't put it there, man would have not fallen into sin. You see, but they don't understand that if there are no two alternatives, then there would be no freedom of choice. God has to put us it there for man to exercise his freedom of choice. It's always there so that man could choose. How could somebody choose without anything to choose from? So God has put evil and good, always, constant. That's in natural life, in normal life. There's always good, evil, faith, doubt, darkness, light.
Amen.
Two things where man could choose from. Amen. So, when there's no choice, you know, your wife will cook you egg in the morning, and you would say, "Is there any more choice?" And she would say, "The choice is take it or leave it." But really, there's no choice. There's only one there. One thing there. You see how God has given man the ability to choose. And from this basic operation of man's will, which God has given us, is determined how we serve God until today. It is determined of how we serve God until today. You see, they say, we are saved by grace, not by work. They don't understand that the work that is being referred there is not the work that we have to come to church or be baptized. They think that's work. No, the work that is being referred there is not the work of our own righteousness or according to the law. But you see, we cannot be saved by grace without work. And we cannot be saved by work without grace. Grace and work and grace must go together. When you hear the gospel, it's your prerogative to decide. We cannot force anybody. We may see somebody there dressed in a holiness style, but then his decision is mean more to God. Right now, if you want to backslide, you can. Right at this moment, if you want to leave the church, you can. Right at this moment, if you want to go back to the world, you can. But the reason why you are not going there, because you have made up your mind and you have decided. And that does not even stop there. There are always some choice that you have to make as you go along. And this living for God does not really depend on Him. It depends on us. Really, sometimes we think that God is being benefited by our praise. God is God whether we praise Him or not. He is God whether someone will not praise Him or will praise Him. It will not add the glory of God. He is God the same. But the reason why we praise Him is because God knows it benefits us. benefit us does not benefit God. Amen. And God has left this upon man to decide. Because God has given us the freedom of choice. Woo!
Praise the Lord. Well, that's God's truth. Whether you like it or not, that's the truth.
Sometimes we really blame God. We just say, God, how come, how come? No, God has given you the will to do it. We say, well, it is God's will. It is God's will. It is God's will that someone was run over. It is God's will that he got a wreck. It is God's will that he died. Maybe it is, but not all the time. Maybe he got wrecked because of his carelessness. See, if you put everything to God's will, that he has really given us the will to decide, the will to live. You see, some people don't know that. They serve God as if God is doing everything to them. I put it this way. The things that we can do, we ask God for guidance. And the things that we cannot do, we ask God to do it for us. But we don't ask God to do everything for us. Because God has given us the choice, the will. Hallelujah to God. You won't ask God to cook your food. You won't ask God to drive your car. You won't ask God to live for you. You live for Him. And God has given us His Holy Spirit that we will be help. But the Holy Spirit won't do you any good if you don't like. And God won't force you. God wants you to decide for your own. God wants you to love Him with a love that is not enforced upon you, but with a love that you have decided upon. If you go to hell, it is not God's will. If you go to hell, because you've chosen it. And you make it up to heaven, it is not because of God, it's because of your choice. You make it there because one day you have chosen. Hallelujah. See, people are rich because they've chosen to be rich. People are educated because they've chosen to be educated. They've chosen to work hard. They've chosen to practice. They've chosen to pursue what they desire. What they have chosen. That's why they are there. Because they have chosen. And the reason why some people are not there, because they have not realized their freedom of choice and their decision. That's why they don't advance. Oh, our will. It's always there. And don't tell me you have made it. No. Until now, you're still using your will to do the will of God. Because every now and then, temptation would come. You might wonder why there are trials. You might wonder why there are temptations. There are temptations, hallelujah, so that you will continue in choosing for God. Hallelujah, you will continue in living for God. And to reject temptations. And that will is there. God has put it. Everyone has this will. And when you will it, you can do it. They say if there is a will, there's a way. Because if you will it, you can do it. I said if you will it, you can do it. But if you stop willing, then you won't do it anymore.
Amen.
The King is the will. And sometimes people who don't realize that listen to their emotions and make their will subject to the emotion. The emotion will say, oh, I'm so scared. Oh, I'm so worried. Oh, I'm so anxious. So little by little, their emotion is ruling them. And before you know it, you're a nervous wreck. Because you can't just control your emotion. You get afraid, whether you like it or not. Amen. It's just like this. A little baby would cry for her mother to get her attention. But if the mother will keep on listening to the baby's cry and weep, she becomes a slave to the baby. And the baby would know that every time she cries, she gets her mother. But one, when the mother realizes that she is only crying to get her attention,
and would not listen to her, the child will learn. And she would stop. It's just like that. Our emotion gets our attention. Hello? It will get our attention. Oh, I'm so scared. I'm so worried. Oh, I can't make it. I'm so nervous. You know, you just listen to it every time. And then, before you know it, you won't know how to move. You won't know how to act. Man, you'll just shake like that and jitter like that. And you have no more will. Amen. Because what the mind says, the body follows. When the mind says, walk, you walk. When the mind says, stop, stop. As a matter of fact, no, nothing that the body does that is not being dictated by the mind.
Right.
Everything comes from the mind. Now, if the mind listens to the emotion and let the emotion dictate to the body, you'll just shake all the time. You will not get out of the house. But nevertheless, you've got a will. Listen to this. Who of you who are having some emotional problems, you have to let your will rule. And emotion will follow suit. That's it. Now, in serving for God, there are doubts, there are unbeliefs. In serving for God, there are trials and temptations. There are day and night. We have not made it yet. Amen. Everyone passes temptations all the time. Hallelujah. But yet, we have to make our will. And one of the best ways to use our will is not to say yes all the time. Because if you always say yes, yes, then you are not exercising your freedom of choice. Brother Manning, when they went to the Philippines, he told us about a man from Ethiopia that didn't speak any English and was so scared. And with the big Americans, you know, they were just crowding him there, and he was on the window and he was nervous because he didn't know any English at all. And Brother Manning would just motion to him about food, about coffee, you know. And when the stewardess would come and offer him a drink, everything, every drink that was offered to him, he drank it. Whether it would be coffee, orange juice, everything. You want a drink? Yes. And he said, 9 hours they have been in the plane, and the man never got up. And he said, man, he never got up with all those drinks.
Yeah.
That man didn't make some choices.
You're right.
Sometimes we have to say no. Use our choice. No! No! Because if you say yes always, you are not exercising your choice. When temptation comes, in order for you to exercise your freedom of choice, you have to say no! And then there are times you have to say yes. It's our choice. I believe that. God has given us the choice. It's not on the pastor. It's not on the preacher. It's not on the mother. It's not on the father. It's your choice. If you lose your soul, don't blame anyone. You have chosen it. If you have fallen into sin, don't blame anyone. You have chosen it. If you're going to make it there, simply because you have chosen it. It's your choice. People backslide, they have chosen it. People go and march forward for God, they have chosen it. We better make our choice and really make our decision. God bless you. Let's all stand. Thank God. I didn't take me long.
Three. 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 Three.
Your choice. Now, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's already made His choice. It's your move. Sing it again. Maybe someone would like to pray, regardless of the need in your life. If you'd like to come up front for prayer tonight, regardless. Lost, rededicate, rebaptize. Thrilled? If you need something from God, come on.
Hallelujah. I lift my hands.
Let's all make our way around the altar. Will you do this?
Lamb of Calvary.
I was so stooped, bending low.
I was bending low when
He reached down for me. Let's really get a hold of God tonight.
Precious King of Kings.
Oh, hallelujah.
You're my everything.
Everybody, everybody.
Lord, we come to do your will.
Oh, God. Lord, direct us in your ways. Smile upon us with your holy presence. Move with your power and with your glory. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yemai, Koshalom. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Cry out to God, cry out to God. Let Him bless you. Let Him thrill you. Oh, bless God. Amalakashia. This servant of God has stirred our hearts tonight. Brother, I hope that we didn't cut you short by... We could have said another 30 minutes of that or 40. I mean, we're blessed. First, it was God's will. And now we must make our choice. Don't blame your failures on God. Don't blame your inabilities on God. Because the God that calls is able to make you able. Don't blame your falling on God, because He's able to keep that which is committed into His hand against that day. I'd like to sing. Give me four flats, sir. I want to sing. I don't know why a lot of our basses are not here, but I want to sing "I'm Free Again." Satan led my soul astray.
Led my soul astray.
If any of you need to leave in the next 10 minutes or 15 minutes or so, you may go ahead and consider yourself dismissed. But I'd like for him to answer a few questions that might be in our mind. If you want to be seated, you can remain for a few minutes. If you need to go, go at your pleasure. But I would like to, I know there's some things. Brother Shields mentioned that he was an assistant to the priest. I believe he mentioned also this while he was in the Catholic faith. And I'd kind of like to know just how he came, a little more details of how he came to this truth. Would you? You mind asking a few questions, brother? No, right? How come you, really, who was the first fellow you heard talk about Jesus' name? You
know? Was Brother Will Hoyt.
Ronnie?
No, Johnny Will Hoyt.
Ronnie Will Hoyt's brother.
Yeah.
Search for truth. All right.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is good for an extension.
Amen.
My time is extended. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 8 years old at the Trinity Church. And then when I went to high school, I went back to the Catholic Church because I live very far away from my parents. And so I was not really grounded on the Word of God, so I went back to the Catholic Church and became the assistant to the priest in that Catholic Church. I must have excelled a little bit in my schooling, and so they have chosen me to help. But later on, I was living with my uncle, who got men that were working for him, and these men would drink, and so I learned to drink. And so my schooling was stopped, and I was addicted to really drinking, and I could even drink 5 bottles of whiskey at one time. And I would sleep beside the road and the seashore, and we would just go out and fight. And my mother would always cry and cry because I will not go home. I work, but all my money will be spent to drinking. And that was our joy. And I said, it was hopeless, you know, for me. There was no more hope. And my parents, being Trinity, Assembly of God, they would invite me to come to church, but I would not. And I brought some ill reputation to my family because of that. My brothers were already pastors, you know, and they pastored some churches, and I was just the only one that was in the world. And there was no hopes. My mother would just cry, and my father got sick, and he eventually died out of that sickness. Of course, he died later on when I was already in the truth. And but then, during the time when I was drinking, I was able to attend a birthday party, and they had a service there, a mini service. And I didn't care for the service, I just cared to eat. And I was there way back, sitting on the last pew with my guitar. And then the preacher preached about the love of God, and how I even despised the preacher because it seemed to me he didn't know how to speak. Yes. And I despised him at first, you know. He just talked and talked and simple. But then I didn't know why I came to the front. I came to the front and I just surrendered my life to God.
Yes.
You know, that's simple. And I couldn't understand it. And so, next day, which was Sunday, I went to church. Of course, it was at Trinity Church. And the pastor invited anyone to come. And I come to the front, and I just wept and wept and wept. I was 16 years old then. And then I wept, and I cried so hard. And he laid his hands on me and said, God, use this boy. And later on, I enrolled in the Trinity Bible School, and I must have excelled, and I became the president of that Bible school very quick, you know. And then, at the Trinity Bible School, at the age of 17, I was already holding a church. My promotion was very quick. Anyway, during that Bible school, Brother Wilhoit came down and told us about Jesus' name baptism and oneness of God. And I was angry, not understanding the message. And I was really thinking that this one is people are weird people, you know, not understanding. Then I found out that our teacher in the Bible school, when he debated the Jehovah's Witness, would use the stand of the oneness. And we asked him about that. And he said, well, you cannot really use the Trinity doctrine in debating against the Jehovah's Witness. You have to use the oneness. And so, the Lord made a way. I went up to Manila to study there at Brother Wilhoit's Bible School. And there I met my wife. And the Lord blessed us. I became the interpreter of Brother Wilhoit. And wherever we built churches, I was with him. And I pastored the first church that Brother Wilhoit put in Manila. I was the pastor of it until he left in 1976. But when the missionaries were gone and no one was taking there, I was kind of overseeing the work. And some brethren, you know, just left us, and it was discouraging, but then it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life to have some struggles and discouragements like that. But the best way you can get from life is to enjoy, to learn the art of living. There is an art of living, really, if you know how to live. Praise the Lord. I might preach again. I believe that, you know, I believe there's a way to live. Amen. So anyway, I pastored the church, and I took over when I left that first church went down to the south to oversee pastors, I was 22, 23 years old, and when I was there and they're trying to run the work. I was so young, I didn't even have a mustache, you know, and people laughed at me because they were old. And anyway, I was there, and I got back to Manila and took over a church that had 12 people in it. And the church in Manila, where I'm pastoring now, had only 12 people, and it had been there for about 12 years. And the pastor said, there's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to win people. We have done our best. Nothing, no people. Then sometimes we do the things of God on our own way, on our own understanding, not the way of God. And the only way that we could do God, we could do the work of God, is to go into prayer. You see, the Bible speaks about, except the seed of corn, the corn of wheat, fall to the ground. See, it's a law of reproduction. Unless the seed will die,
amen,
it won't reproduce. Really, I believe that. You know, look at anybody that have become, say, a professional and have been successful. No, never become successful in the work of God, even how professional they are. The work of God could only be done through a contrite spirit, a brokenness of heart, and through prayer and fasting. There's no way out. That's another preaching. See, I really believe in nature. Nature has it.
Amen.
Parable means comparable, where we could compare.
Amen.
And when Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall to the ground, the corn must fall to the ground. It will abide alone. If it won't fall to the ground, it won't really reproduce. So anyway, we did that route. We would wake up at 4 o'clock. After 7 o'clock, my wife and I would pray and would touch the benches, believing and seeing, because there's a seeing eyes of faith. I preached that to Brother Sheila last night.
Right.
The seeing eyes of faith. Faith sees.
Right.
And some people don't serve God successfully because they just walk by sight. Not closing our eyes, but just seeing the surroundings. I might can preach it next time. We believed, and we prayed, and then we had a crusade. And you talk about miracles in that crusade. My, miracles. Lame woman was carried to our church, couldn't walk, couldn't move, couldn't sit down, couldn't stand. When, after prayer, she got up and walked back home. One woman that had crutches on, couldn't walk for many years. After prayer, she left the crutches and walked back home. You see, when we do these things in God's way, we set an activity. It's like, just like a fuse. We ignite it. And we create an activity where God's Spirit would move. Sometimes we want God to move, but we don't just ignite the fuse for God's Spirit to move there. So God just moved. You talked about dumb speaking, and there was a woman that could not walk for 5 years, was on crutches because she had cancer on the bones. She had boils all over. She had to be sent home. The doctor said her legs will be amputated, but it won't cure the cancer. And her husband said, we'll just go home and wait. And so they were preparing for her funeral, even if she was yet alive. And then one day we were invited there and we prayed. Sometimes really we don't recognize that God has empowered us. One day I talked to God and God said, we are beggars. We just beg. When all we have to do is just use the power. It's just like the police when he has the badge, the police won't plead with you. The police would not say, please be arrested. Please. No, he will arrest you. He has the authority. Sometimes we think we have the power, but we really don't believe that we have the power. So we just beg, God, please touch this, oh Lord, help, Lord. We just don't really say, be healed. You see, God, Jesus told his apostles, heal the sick.
He said it, right. Hallelujah.
And so we did that. We just commanded the sickness, and we commanded it that day. And immediately she walked and got up. And that was 1977. Up to now, this couple is one of our faithful saints in the church. All cancer is gone. Those balls are gone. So we have grown, we have grown, we have grown by faith, seeing it, conceiving it. I also have a thought that is also natural, that unless you conceive, you will never bear children. There must be conception first. And that's God's truth. And that's nature. So we conceive and delivered, and travailed and delivered. One time we baptized 129 in our 4-day crusade. Now, people will say it's hard here. I don't think so, because when I have gone to some churches, I saw some people being converted 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or a year ago. That means it's not impossible. You know, God hasn't changed. It's only man that has changed.
That's right.
If we do it God's way, He will set up the fuse. He will make it kick off. And we'll just see the power of God working.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you very much.
Have you enjoyed the service tonight?
Yes.
And we pray God's blessings on him and his work in the Philippines. And we're so glad through Brother Shields that we got acquainted with this brother. And glad he came our way. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Father, we ask your blessings. We pray, Lord, that you will direct our pathway, that we may always please you and give us that desire and that will in our heart to have no other purpose in mind but to please you and to hear you say, well done. We ask for your blessings upon our people, upon Brother Shields and his journey home, and upon his church, and all of our people everywhere tonight. Heal the sick according to your word, and bless those who need blessings, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. God bless you.